You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 6th, 2020. You would be hard-pressed to find this next story anywhere on the mainstream media. Anywhere. Now, I'm not going to say bank everything on this story, but at least you should have the information. And the report is the U.S. Monday recorded the lowest one-day tally of corona illness fatalities in the last month. So Monday, the lowest one-day tally in the last month. Mainstream media jumping on that? Not likely. Not likely. Defense Secretary Mark Esper calling on China to allow the international community access to its early coronavirus patients, researchers, and scientists so we can get a better idea of the origin of the virus. Did it come out of a lab, which we suspect, or did it come out of the wet market, which they tried to make us believe? And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff also calling on China to open up and allow international inspectors. China continues to come under growing international scrutiny. But, of course, they got the World Health Organization doing their dirty work for them at this point. We do want to get the economy reopened. Started up President Trump yesterday in Phoenix. Said, I project the third quarter is going to be a startup. Fourth quarter will be great, and next year better yet. We now see numbers from last month. The private sector lost 20-plus million jobs. So we've got to do something sooner than later. But you've got the naysayers and the Democrats rushing forward, such as Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut Democrat, saying Trump's plan to reopen is leading us, quote, down a potential path of slaughter. And he added, in the Northeast, we have done some of the right things. We've been able to turn things in a positive direction. By the Northeast, I assume he's probably just talking about his own state, because let me check my geography, my map here. Where is Massachusetts? Is that near California? No, not near California. Idaho? No. No, it's the Northeast also. As is New York and New York City. You talk about some problems continuing for those blue states. And in Massachusetts, a nursing home that has 224 beds sitting behind a hospital, acknowledging a large outbreak, killing 54 of the seniors living at that facility and making 117 others sick and 40 members of the staff. And they're still testing others. Because of all of this concern, the New York Democrat presidential primary was canceled. It will not take place. Or will it? Now we've got withdrawn presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders and Andrew Yang. They've withdrawn. They've basically said we'll support Biden. But they still want the New York primary to go forward. They say it would be unconstitutional. You would deny many Americans their opportunity. We're on the ballot. We should be having a primary. So they say we want to make sure it's carried out. I told you those votes in New York State, 220, 40, something like that, delegate votes, they don't just want to turn them over to Joe Biden. Last night, word came that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was in the hospital. Now we're being told she underwent a non-surgical procedure for a benign gallbladder condition. She is taking part today in some of those oral arguments that they're now doing by teleconference. The Supreme Court opened up and started doing them only by teleconference, so the justices would not have to actually show up in person. It's good benefit for her as well. She's 87. Kim Jong-un back in public, and they insist not for any heart-related surgery. Not for the coronavirus, not heart surgery. That's what they're saying. Well, I do know this. Russian President Putin decided he would do something good for the North Korean leader. He awarded him a commemorative World War II coin for preserving the memory of Soviet soldiers who died on North Korean soil and fighting for its liberation. Giving him a World War II medal to the North Korean leader in that, quote, police action, as some still call it, where we lost so many Americans. A World War II medal. Somewhere in my house, I think I have something out of an old Cracker Jack box. I might send him that one.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Your actions were selfish, putting your own interests ahead of those of the community in which you live. That they disrespected the executive orders of the state, the orders of the county, and this city.
That is a judge in Dallas. Judge deciding that a salon operator, Shelley Luther, had violated the standing orders for reopening. And she said, what you did was absolutely selfish. You put everyone at risk because you insisted you want to open your salon when we had told you it should stay closed. She did open it in violation of the order that had been there. And she was basically accused by the judge, as you heard, of being absolutely selfish. So she's standing in the courtroom. And the judge has basically also said, if you will apologize, then I will let you go. No jail sentence, no fine. Just apologize. Well, Luther, the Shelley Luther, the owner of that salon, said when it came to saying I was selfish, I disagree. Listen to her statement.
I have to disagree with you, sir, when you say that I'm selfish, because feeding my kids is not selfish. I have hairstylists that are going hungry because they'd rather feed their kids. So, sir, if you think the law is more important than kids getting fed, then please go ahead with your decision, but I am not going to shut the salon.
And he said, all right, in that case, I sentence you and also in contempt of court. Take her to jail, bailiffs. And they did. Booked into jail, 7 days, $7,000 fine. 1 day in jail and $1,000 for each day she was open in violation. And of course, this Friday, the state of Texas is going to officially allow salon operators to open. Others are waiting. She said, I can't. I've got to feed my family. Now, you know, you can take two sides of this thing. You can certainly take the attitude, look, the rule is this. Everybody's obeying it. And those that aren't, we got to deal with. This is not an order that everybody has to wear a mask wherever you are, and they're going to pick you up because you weren't wearing a mask and you're walking down a street or you're driving in your car or whatever. And they suddenly decide, well, a mask rule is mandatory. We've already seen a couple of governors backtrack on that. But in this case, saying these businesses need to stay closed until we authorize them. That's what the president has been anxious to do, of course, is open up the country and to have businesses such as hers open. Georgia, when Governor Kemp decided he was going to open up his state, and he opened his salons early, the president even said, I think they're moving too fast. They're not. They don't have the steps, I don't think, at this point, but I'm going to let the governors decide. Other states still locked down. Where do you come down? Where do you come down on this? I mean, if the woman has no other income coming in, and she's gone through whatever savings she had, and yes, she's got to feed her kids. Now, you could say, well, go look for some relief. Go to your church, get something for a little while. It's easy for someone to say that, but first of all, would it be available? Secondly, does she want to do that when she knows I can perfectly earn a dollar? I can earn a dollar as opposed to getting a handout, even if I'm going to pay it back. I don't like the fact that he sent her to jail. That I don't, but she obviously violated the standing order. And she knew the risk she was taking. She had already been hit with temporary restraining orders, or rather, Dallas had already cited her, and then Dallas had a temporary restraining order trying to shut her down. So the hearing then, of course, coming yesterday, at the same time, Governor Abbott of Texas was holding his news conference, giving details about how we're going to reopen barbershops and hair salons this Friday, May 8th. We have had cases across the nation where we've had some pretty hard set rules that don't seem to make any sense. It's up to the state to make those decisions, so it's not for me to say that the state is wrong to delay this long. That's their decision, and the residents in it have to live with it. There are a lot of other businesses. I'm sure they would like to be open and making money as well. This nation and individual families have been hit hard in the process of this. But sending her to jail, I stop short of that. If he wants to issue a fine, I mean, where's a lady going to come up? If she can't feed her family, where's she going to come up $1,000 a day? Then you get the situation that's been going on in New Mexico. In New Mexico, the governor of New Mexico continues to enforce hard, fast rules that others are saying this has no value. One of the rules they have had in place, she's a Democrat, New Mexico Governor Grisham, is hurting the small businesses and yet helping the big business. Now, where's that balance? the GOP chair in New Mexico, said in his opinion, she's clearly showing favoritism, and the ones that need the help the most are suffering.
I can't explain the logic. It's totally unfair. It's discriminatory. New Mexico is big and rural. We have a couple of population centers, but everything else is sparsely populated. Mom and pops drive the state. And so the initial order weeks ago, the governor said the big box stores can open. No restrictions on them. The small mom and pops had to shut down. Many of them are just going to be forced into bankruptcy, will not be open.
Does that seem right? Now, that one I can clearly say no. You're allowing those big box stores to open, and the small mom and pop that might be doing similar type business, they have to stay closed. And he pointed out something. New Mexico, like many of those states in that area, that region, are sparsely populated, distant drive to any, quote, metropolitan or larger area. And as he said, in some parts of New Mexico, you got to drive for a while before you can even get to one of the big box stores. So they were relying on the small business, and the small business was counting on them as customers. But now they had to drive right past one, two, three, who knows how many small businesses still shuttered that offer pretty much the same as a big box store, maybe obviously not as much variety in each store, but they also offer something that you could have bought before you had to continue the drive. And yet, as the president continues to try to open our nation, he's under attack. I'd read earlier for you, and I'll repeat it again because it should be repeated. Hillary Clinton, one of the ones coming forward, saying Americans will suffer because she thinks that Trump is going to just drop the task force. He's not. As again, fake news that got pushed forward by the New York Times. The White House is considering winding down the task force as the crisis rages on. That tells you everything, where they're trying to put their thought and your mind. The crisis is raging. The White House is winding it down. It's not clear if it's going to be replaced. So Hillary says it appears a plan is shamefully to have no plan. Americans will suffer. And we see the president is not doing anything but redirecting. They're going to continue what they've been doing, but also going to do more focus on moving the country forward. And there you have Senator Murphy of Connecticut rushing forward, saying this is simply a plan to lead us down a potential path of slaughter. And one thing the president said yesterday in Phoenix is being used against him. And when he said it, I just want, he probably knows they're going to come after me regardless of what I said. Here's exactly what he said, though.
I'm viewing our great citizens of this country, to a certain extent and to a large extent, as warriors. They're warriors. We can't keep our country closed. We have to open our country. I'm not saying anything is perfect. And yes, will some people be affected? Yes. Will some people be affected badly? Yes. But we have to get our country open, and we have to get it open soon.
I agree with the point. We've got to open it soon. Sooner than later. The economic numbers are not helping the nation whatsoever. And you got to remember, behind each of those numbers of unemployment is an individual and probably a family that was counting on that paycheck. And so when he said, as we reopen, those who go back out in it and start firing up their business and start giving their dollars to some of those local businesses are bigger, it's kind of like warriors, because we are in a war. We've all admitted it's kind of like a war. But the fact that he used that term, warriors, that gave MSNBC anchor Chris Hayes an opportunity to go on the attack. And when I say anchor Chris Hayes, that's the way they list him, as an anchor. Again, this is one of those guys on the network. He's not an anchor in the sense of anchoring in a newscast. He's like a talk show host on TV with his opinion. You probably get more facts of this program, mixed, obviously, with my commentary, then you get on his program. That's my view. You might have a different one. That's fine. But you're wrong. No, that's fine. You have your opinion. But here, because Donald Trump said, as we go back to reopen our country, you're kind of like warriors. Chris Hayes, you knew he would twist it. Here we go.
What the president seems to be saying is, you're on your own. Thoughts and prayers. Sorry if you're one of those people who's badly affected. Think of yourself as a soldier dying for the cause. The mission is obviously not accomplished, and it is becoming clearer and clearer that Donald Trump never even really tried to accomplish it. He just wants to open up the country so the economy can come back and can be reelected.
Be reelected. So in his view, everything Trump is doing is simply for the reelection. As if they're not, I'm sure they never thought about the reelection in November, have they? No, not. They hadn't thought of it at all. It just, well, no, we're focused on just this. Trump, however, everything he's doing is to get reelected. The president in the beginning, as word began to develop as to how bad this could be, despite what China was telling us and the World Health Organization was saying, he's been taking steps. And, of course, the criticism has been there, and it continues. We're going to talk about some of these models. How good are they? And then a frightening report on one of them. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to once again go over this because it's so typical of how fake news catches fire and no one bothers looking behind this headline to see if that's fact or not. New York Times on a Twitter account had stated, breaking news, the White House is considering winding down the coronavirus task force as the crisis rages on. Stop it there for a moment. They are saying the White House is considering. That means it's not a decided factor. And the next word, winding down, that's not shuttering it, closing the doors, none of that. Then they add another line. It's not clear if the task force, will be replaced. And that gave rise for Hillary Clinton come rushing in, saying it appears the Trump plan is shamefully to have no plan. Americans will suffer. We must replace this administration in November. Oh, well, there's somebody that's looking forward to the next election. I heard Chris Hayes a moment ago on MSNBC saying that President Trump plans to reopen the country. All he's interested in is the next election. I told you, Democrats also are watching the next election. And they want to keep the country shut down as long as they can to help them for the next election. And the New York Times probably picked up on a remark that Vice President Pence had made to reporters yesterday. I don't know if it's in response to a question or not, but he basically said the administration is having conversations regarding the proper time to shut down the task force. The proper time. Didn't say we're doing it, that we're shutting it down now. And he went on to say, I think we're having conversations and about what the proper time is for the task force to complete its work and for the ongoing efforts to take place on an agency-by-agency level. So here comes the New York Times saying, well, they're shuttering it, they're closing it down. And here comes Hillary saying there is no plan. Dr. Birx, according to Vice President Pence, regardless of what they do as they move forward, will remain working at the White House. Some states are seeing their virus cases drop, several entering into the first phase of reopening, as we've noted, allowing non-essential businesses to do so. And then we also have, of course, these studies, these models that have been hanging around our neck as to how bad it could get, how desperate and dangerous and deadly it can be. Now, for those of us who are untrained and not really into science and following this and everything, I mean, we're going to have to trust somebody. And yet you can find conflicting information. And yet this is what the task force, even with the doctors in charge of it and advising the president, are having to deal with. And when word gets out on X number of deaths, they're facing the news flat story over it and backlash, as opposed to so much dealing with the crisis. In the next segment, we're going to talk about some of these models and the difficulty with them and the problem with them. And one problem has been ignored, and it kind of got slipped under the door. Well, I'm going to make sure you spend some time with me on that one. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They've been so wrong. They've been so out of whack. And they keep making new models, and they're wrong. Those models that you're mentioning are talking about without mitigation. Well, we're mitigating, and we've learned to mitigate, but we can be in place, work in place, and also mitigate.
That is President Trump yesterday in Phoenix talking about all these forecast models that really sent us, obviously, and rightly so, alarm when some of them suddenly jumped up to 240,000 dead across the nation before we're done with it, and a high number between now and August. And other reports and models don't bear that out, or they go another way entirely. How do you decipher? How do you decipher which one is going to be right, and what steps do you take? The president's point being that some of these models being presented are not based on the idea that we're actually doing something to mitigate it, that if we just kind of have gone wild with it. In other words, doing nothing. To that point, the Swedish situation has come up several times. Sweden, at the last check I'm seeing here, if these are the latest numbers, let me see, it appears to be correct, something like around 3,000 deaths, 24,000 infections, 3,000 deaths in Sweden. We have just under 70,000 deaths and 1+ million infected confirmed. Sweden was approaching, or dealing with, I should say, what they basically call the herd immunity attitude. It did not impose strict limits on the lives of the residents. You had folks heading to work on busy streets, chatting in cafes, children going on to school. Universities and schools for older students did switch to distance learning. And they were advised from non-essential travel, keep your distance, take personal responsibility. That was the attitude of Sweden. The death rate in Sweden has now risen higher, significantly higher than other countries, reaching more than 22 per 100,000, according to Johns Hopkins University. Denmark, recording just over 7 deaths per 100,000. Norway and Finland, less than 4. And these numbers, again, are based upon some of the latest numbers to come out. That number, I think, was off of May 1. United Kingdom also has among the highest recorded death tolls in Europe, surpassing Italy. The latest numbers for Johns Hopkins University at the UK, 29,500 deaths. Which model were they following and what were they doing? Now, the UK, of course, was slow to put some restraints in. And yet still we have Sweden taking its approach. Now they're saying the numbers are accelerating. Loyal listener Andrew in Chicago had sent me a summary of a statement, a piece from a Professor Gizyak, listed as one of the world's most senior epidemiologists, who is advising the Swedish government. And Andrew pulled out several points from this study that I appreciate him sharing, saving me some of the work. And basically, his attitude was that the UK policy on lockdown and other European countries was not evidence-based at that time. He said the correct policy is to protect the old and the frail, only them. And that would help lead to herd immunity as a byproduct. That's what they were doing in Sweden. Also added that any models are a dubious basis for any public policy. And then this point. Results will eventually be similar for all countries. That COVID-19 is a mild disease, similar to the flu. It was the novelty of the disease that scared us. And that the actual fatality rate of COVID-19 will be in the region of 0.1%. We went through this the other day as to the numbers showing no more than 0.707%. Or 0.7, I should say. And yet we've got all these models out there. And they're being defended. And rightly so. They're going to have to defend their work and what they're doing. They want to stand by it. They want to make sure that they're telling our story is correct. One of them, Dr. Murray, Christopher Murray, he's with the Institute for Health Metrics. And defending their model, and their model had gone from, at one point, predicting 93,000 dead in the U.S., dropped it down to 61,000, and then again back up to 134,000. President Trump is saying, again, are those being based on what we're doing, the mediation we're taking now and will continue? Here's Dr. Murray's response.
Our model is driven by the data. That's why it changes. It's like forecasting a hurricane. You want a hurricane forecast and, you know, where it's going to have landfall to reflect the data up to today. And there's lots of things about the pandemic that we don't fully understand. You know, why was New York so large and why of some other large cities have not had such large epidemics? So we want a forecast that's, you know, really driven by the data that we see.
Now, again, that's Dr. Christopher Murray with the Institute for Health Metrics, IHME. And I'm not trying to single him out in his models, but let me show you how this plays out. Task Force Coordinator Dr. Birx said today, questioning the accuracy of those latest models. She said, I think the model failed to note the continued mitigation parameters, exactly what the president said yesterday. She says the model was not taking into account guidelines for asking seniors in more vulnerable communities to continue sheltering in place in both phases of reopening America. And, of course, yesterday I let you hear from Dr. Scott Atlas with the Hoover Institution. And he was saying that we have reached a point where we're in a panic and we need to stop the panic.
You look at the model they just came in with, and that range is between 90-some thousand and 215,000. There's a huge range of what they're saying. None of these models, and no legitimate model, talks about a specific number as meant to be that's the prediction. So that's a second point. And then the third, much more important point here is nothing has changed here. We should look at the evidence. We don't need to rely on hypothetical projections. We have a ton of evidence. And the evidence is consistent all over the world that we know the fatality rate is much lower than what the models were based on originally.
That point, much lower than what they were originally estimating. That gets back to that report I was reading earlier that Andrew had pulled up and sent me from the world-renowned epidemiologist who was advising the Swiss government and saying that it's a mild disease, similar to the flu. Actual fatality rate will be about 0.1% when it's all said and done. So you have to keep in mind when you hear these models, are they basing it on, if nothing else is done right now? You heard Dr. Murray talk about, well, it's like coming up with a hurricane forecast. You still want to see the numbers, right? You want to know a possible track of where it's going to hit. Yes, we do. And they're giving us a track of where this might end up going, and it could vary. But are some of the tracks being proposed so far off that if most are saying the hurricane's going to strike the Gulf of Mexico, and others saying, oh, it's going to go into New York first. Well, somebody's wrong dramatically. But within some of these numbers, and Dr. Murray acknowledged it in an interview, some of the numbers, the death counts we're getting, are coming from nursing homes who did not report them as COVID-19 deaths earlier, maybe even since then, knowing that it would be, and they hadn't reported them. So now they're beginning to stack them in. They're suddenly adding them. In other words, they are old news.
Some of the increase is exactly from that. I would say our huge increase in estimates, the lion's share is the uptick in mobility. But certainly, you know, probably 20% of our revised numbers is reflecting that we, you know, all the data that states were reporting missed some of what was happening in the past. And so, you know, it's a factor. We expect more of that to continue happening.
That's frightening. More cases where they're not even bothering to report them. And then suddenly they're dumping them in, so it looks like, oh, my God, it's on fire again. I just told you in news and commentary at the top of the hour at the Massachusetts nursing home that's now acknowledging an outbreak killing 54 seniors who lived there, sickening 117. This is a 224-bed facility sitting behind a hospital in Medford, Massachusetts. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk again about how the Dems want to see Trump out regardless.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, yesterday I was telling you about in Russia, COVID-19 could have you drop dead, indirectly at least. I was talking about researchers who suddenly went over the balcony of a second or fifth story building and died, obviously on impact, and they were COVID-19 researchers, or some complaining about what the Soviet Union was or was not doing to protect its people. They just, I don't know, did they decide to commit suicide? We don't know. Did they get help over the rail, or did COVID-19 make them think they could fly? I don't know. And then, stateside, we have this story coming out. A professor in the Pittsburgh area, they say, might have been close to very significant findings on a verge, they say, of a breakthrough in understanding COVID-19, found dead. Gunshot wounds to his head, neck, and torso. Not a suicide. Short distance away, another man acquainted with him, found dead in his car with what was apparently a self-inflicted shot. Now, again, this research assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine is being remembered by the university's website in this way. He was on the verge of making very significant findings toward understanding the mechanisms underlying SARS-CoV-2 infection. In other words, suggesting he maybe had the cure, possibly, or vaccine. I don't know what they're suggesting. Maybe it's just an attempt to memorialize a guy and acknowledge that he was doing good work. But they were basically suggesting that this guy was close to solving coronavirus and someone murdered him. Well, he was murdered. The reason, the motive, yeah, that's still going to be in play for a while. We'll leave that to the detectives and the amateur sleuths. But I want to go back to something we discussed earlier this hour, and I think I touched on it in the first hour. The Democrats will have you believe that Trump rushing us back, getting the country reopened, he's only doing it because he wants to have America up and running and improve the economy before we get to November, because it's critical. We had done a fantastic job of building the economy up to this point, and then it got torpedoed by the virus. And so, yeah, he's going to have to build it again, and it will take some time. He's not going to build up as fast as it went down. And I would say, hey, if you like the way he did the first 2.5 years, well, then you know he's got less than a few months left. So you need to give him another 4 years. Of course, Democrats will not buy that argument. I understand. And the founder of Politico, former New York Times correspondent in D.C., which right there should tell you, this guy was a correspondent for the New York Times, and his bias obviously evident. Then he founded Politico, which often is used as a blunt object against any conservatives. And the founder was talking about the Reid allegations against Vice President Biden. Now, Nancy Pelosi has endorsed Biden, said, I'm done with it. There's nothing else to be said. Joe is Joe. In other words, I'm supporting him. I don't think it's good to say Joe is Joe. That probably is not the best endorsement, but she did. And said, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And Hillary's on the side saying, I'm for Joe. I endorse Joe also. Telling you she wants to keep herself relevant, trying to keep herself in your sight in case Joe stumbles. And, of course, some are saying the nuclear option for Joe would be to add her onto the ticket, or Michelle, if Michelle will come in. But here's the founder of Politico publishing a letter. And here's what he says. I don't want an investigation of Joe Biden. I want a coronation of Joe Biden. Would he make a great president? Unlikely. Would he make a good president? Good enough. Would he make a better president than the present occupant? Absolutely. I don't want justice, whatever that may be. He's talking about the Tara Reid allegation. He's not interested in the facts or justice. I don't want justice, whatever that may be. I want a win. The removal of Donald Trump from office. And Mr. Biden is our best chance. He should add, maybe only chance. And he goes on to say, suppose an investigation reveals damaging information concerning Biden's relationship with Tara Reid or something else, and Mr. Biden loses a nomination to Senator Bernie Sanders or someone else with a minimal chance of defeating Mr. Trump, should we risk that possibility? So if Biden is proven tomorrow, all the evidence is there that he did exactly as Tara Reid said. He said, we could lose the White House if you do that. In other words, don't attack him. Leave him alone. The New York Times had an editorial the other day saying he should be fully investigated. The Democrat National Committee response is, that's absurd on its face. In other words, no, don't investigate Joe. Everybody's supposed to take the talking points from Nancy. We're done. I've said it. It's over. He said it didn't happen. That's it. The woman has a right to be heard and believed, and I believe Joe. In other words, we're not going to really listen to her facts or what she we're just not going to believe her. We're going to go with Joe. And this guy said, even if it's evidence against him, don't take Joe Biden out of the race. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.